Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 297. Oh my God, we're almost at 300. That's crazy. But welcome to episode 297 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Kuznets, of course, as I am every week. Clearly. Got some anime to talk about, some games. Little review of Party Hard to look forward to. Definitely check that out. I think the game section is a bit fun because I recorded it a bit early and also late when I recorded it, that is. So I was very tired when I recorded it, and that's made it pretty fun. And then the anime section is just kind of like, this is just okay, and this is just okay, this is just okay. But you know what's not okay? The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. I finally saw it. I paid, I think, 29 cents to see it because I still had a movie bucks thing that I got with my horrible purchase of Mutants in Manhattan. So I figured I'd use it. I did. It was my first time using it. It took maybe a few minutes for them to figure out how to redeem it. But I'm definitely happy I only paid 29 cents for it because I hated it. I seriously, maybe two-thirds of the way in, I was looking at my watch a lot, and I was just thinking to myself, I think I kind of just want to leave, because I was not enjoying any of it. I think it's terrible. I really was so disappointed in it, in pretty much everything. I thought it was just like this complete disaster. I thought the way Krang was handled was really weird. I did not like that. Bebop and Rocksteady, okay, more so Rocksteady. I think, what's his name? It's not Cletus. I don't know. He's that ginger wrestler. I think he was okay. He was a bit more subdued. And then you had this other actor playing Bebop, who I thought was such a weird, terrible choice for Bebop. I think he would have been better as Baxter Stockton because he played the nerdy scientist guy in Undercover Brother. Because Tyler Perry is Baxter Stockton. Woo! That was terrible. And I just saw the audio on that. That ooh must have really hurt your ears. I apologize, but he was terrible. I could not believe how awful Tyler Perry was, because I was actually, before seeing it, thinking that, you know, he would probably be a good, that he would do a good job in the role, but he didn't. And I think I remember him saying somewhere that he was inspired a lot by, what's his name? Cosmos, Neil deGrasse Tyson. And if that's true, and if that's who wholly inspired him, and if I was Neil deGrasse Tyson and saw this movie and heard that, I would be like, Tyler Perry, I don't ever want to see you. I don't ever want to speak with you. Don't ever do any, stay out of my life, because this is terrible. Will Arnett is still in it. He's still annoying. Didn't like that. Megan Fox, she's fine. She's not horrible. They make use of the fact that she is so sexy and everything, but I don't have it out against her. The Shredder was kind of used to a minimal degree. Yeah, and Krang was just here in two scenes. I really didn't like it. I think the humor wasn't there as much, and at least the humor that was there, I was not feeling. There weren't moments that I could at least enjoy, like in the first movie, like, that cat is playing chopsticks with chopsticks. Or when they're doing their little rap in the elevator. Those are stupid, but they're, like, so stupid, they're kind of funny and you can appreciate them. And I think the set pieces weren't as good. Nothing rivaled the set piece in the first movie when they were in the snow. That was better than anything in the first in the out of the shadows. I so did not like any of it, other than I appreciated that Donatello got a lot more screen time and was way more substantial in this movie than the first. That was one of my problems with the first movie. It's nice that the turtles are there right at the beginning. And I think the animation style was very cool at times. And specifically for Bebop and Rocksteady, because it at times looks like stop motion animation, like claymation. And it's very, very, not somewhat jarring at times, but very, very cool and different. And I liked it. And they also did that with the turtles at times. And I'm also now remembering that Casey Jones, who was played by Stephen Amell, who plays Arrow on Arrow, he was terrible. This just cements the fact that he's not a good actor, and he has no charisma. I think he works on Arrow because their version of Arrow has no charisma and doesn't have much personality. But he was awful. I could get past his appearance being different, even though I prefer the long hair and all that, and his more grimy look. But what they did with Casey Jones really, really bothered me in making him a cop, one of the cops who was transporting Shredder when he escaped. And he went on like administrative leave or whatever because nobody believed his kooky story about a garbage truck shooting cement lids and all this stuff. Not cement lids, sewer, whatever the hell they're called. Sewer lids. So he was a cop who was then out to kind of clear his name and figure out what was going on. And I did not like that at all. I do not like that backstory. And he was just terrible in the role. And just everyone was really, really not great. The turtles were okay, but I'm not sure if they got a new voice actor and potentially actor for Leonardo, but he felt a bit different. And he felt just like, I'm rooting more for Raph than Leo here. Leo is getting on my nerves more than anyone else. But really, it was just so disappointing. I think Out of the Shadows was, I mean, I think the first movie was way better. I genuinely enjoyed that. I thought it was a solid movie. Whereas, and you know, I think this suffers from the same problem as Transformers 2 compared to Transformers, in that, like, I don't even remember what I didn't like about Transformers 2, other than maybe it was just like this, where it's just like, let's throw in a bunch of things now and just turn it into a giant mess. Whereas the first movie was a bit more restrained and focused. But yeah, I was so disappointed, really. And I think it's just like heartbreaking after playing that game and being so heartbroken. They should have got anyone else for Casey Jones too, just anyone. And I really miss, I think his name is Elias Koteas, who played Casey back in the day, who was a very, I think, well-known character actor. I think of him a lot as too as the cop in the American version of Let the Right One In, Let Me In. He was the cop in that. And I think he's just been in a whole bunch of things, as various things, and a lot of TV shows. But I really liked him. And I'm planning to go back and watch the very first movie because I really am feeling like that holds up super well. Just after watching this, I'm like, if you want to be serious, then take a note from this. If you want to be goofy, take a note from The Ooze, which I still like that one. I think this is the very, this is the ultimate test. I think maybe Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 is better than Out of the Shadows. I know that's crazy. I know, but I think it may be true. And I have to go back and watch it because I have them all. I own them all. Also, they have a little, you know, there's a lot of fan service in it, but it doesn't always work for me. And I look at it and I'm like, why didn't you just go all the way in? Like when Casey Jones goes to a bar, he hears, well, in the background, they're playing Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. And I'm just thinking, and he, you know, says like, oh, I really like this song or whatever. And then he breaks it and pulls up the disc and then just like starts throwing things and thrashing the bar, trying to get information from the whatever the that guy who does the commercials for insurance where he's like, I'm mayhem, protect yourself from me. That dude, he's the bartender. But I don't know why didn't they just play Go Ninja Go? Why didn't they just have that playing in there, huh? Why not? What's the point? It's like, oh, we know people will be like, oh, this is a Vanilla Ice song. Let's just put in the ninja rap. Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. Just do it. Just go full on. Anyway, that was really depressing. That broke my heart. But yeah, let's get on to the rest of the show and hopefully some stuff that didn't break my heart. The spring season is all but over now, and the summer season is just around the corner. So I thought before I hit on the anime I've been watching this past week, I'd touch on a few of the things that I'm excited to see in the summer. And it's weird because I thought this last season, the spring season, was particularly bad, with nothing really standing out except Ushu Totora, the second season of that, wrapping up the series, was good. I thought it was pretty good. I just thought it was maybe a bit too serious and kind of lingered. It really stretched out what I thought could have been compacted, so maybe they shouldn't have had a whole another season. Maybe it should have been like a 6-episode OVA. I don't know. Or it should have just continued on to the last. It just felt like they had too much time to fill, and it really, really just sort of lingered and lingered. It's like, oh my god, was this episode really just all just this little bit of setup, and then next episode's going to be more setup? So that was a bit disappointing, but still pretty good because the characters are great. The story overall is great. I really like the voice acting. I like a lot about it, just not as good as the first season. And then I think Flying Witch, which just wrapped up, it was delayed, and then they released the last two episodes together. That is a show I'm kind of going back and forth between an 8 and a 9, because I'm a big fan of really calm, pleasant, quiet slice of life series, and Flying Witch is that to a T. It is so pleasant, so sweet, so innocent in a way, and just a wonderful little slice of life. So, it's funny though, because she doesn't really fly that much. She flies a bit in the last two episodes, I think, but really, she doesn't do much flying. But it's really nice and pleasant. And if you want something that's not so bombastic or crazy or fantasy driven or anything like that, Flying Witch is a great palate cleanser, a great show to watch if you're just looking to kind of relax, because it's a very relaxing show. The music is great, and everything about it is just calming and soothing. It's like a warm bubble bath. I haven't had a bubble bath in forever. I used to love those as a kid. Whatever happened to those? Do kids still have bubble baths? I don't. That's so weird to me. I don't. Is that just like, hey, kids don't want to have baths, but they like bubbles. So if we put bubbles in the bath, they'll want to take a bath. I don't know. But now I kind of want to take a bubble bath. And now I want to take a bubble bath while playing Bubble Bobble. But I'm not here to talk about that right now. I'm here to talk about anime. But regarding the summer season, I am Of course, looking forward to Food Wars Season 2, because Food Wars Season 1 was fantastic, and I would love to see 100 episodes of Food Wars, because it's just so much fun. I do see that this season is only 13 episodes. It's not another 26-episode season, or either it's broken up in halves, and they're just not showing that here, but 13 episodes, sort of like Ushio Zatora. And I'm assuming there's no way they're going to wrap up everything in 13 episodes, so hopefully we'll get more after that. And then ReLife does sound pretty interesting. It follows this 27-year-old guy who can't find a job. He just, like, has horrible luck and stuff, and he gets this offer from some kind of person who's like a scientist or something, who gives him a drug that will change his appearance to make him look like a 17-year-old. So it'll take away 10 years of his life just in appearance, and he goes back to high school. So it makes me think of, like, Never Been Kissed. But it should be interesting to see someone not reliving their past because they're not going in the past, but being able to redo high school, you know, redo a part of their life with the experiences and knowledge that has come with the time that has passed since they originally did that. So that should be interesting. Then Orange is something I'm excited about because I've heard a lot of good things about the manga, and it's been on my to-read list for a while, and I haven't gotten around to it. So now I can just watch it and then maybe get around to reading it at some point. And then I'm curious about this series, 91 Days, which takes place during Prohibition, and it follows, I think it follows this guy across 91 days of, like, just, like, crap happening and stuff, and it just seems interesting. The setting is different, and I think it could be, it has the potential to be unique, but other than that, there's nothing that's really super standing out. I look, because the way I judge series is just sort of like the key art, and then I'll look at the description. And a lot of the key art just looks like, oh, I kind of know what this is. And some of that stuff could be very enjoyable. It's just like nothing standing out as like, oh, I'm really curious about that. This series, Battery, looks like it could be potentially good. It's a baseball anime, I believe, and it's I don't know, the key art just looks really, really interesting. It almost looks like a Mikami joint, but it isn't. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I guess I'm kind of interested in the Arslan Senki sequel, second season, but other than that, I just kind of going to wait and see. Don't care about Berserk because I saw the first 3D movie, and I didn't like that. I didn't see the original series, which I should probably watch at some point. Anyway, let's get on to what I've been actually watching. So, I watched Freezing. Why did I watch Freezing? I don't know. I heard it was good, but I didn't know what it was. Which is to say, I didn't know it was an ecchi, and an extreme ecchi, and that there were so many boobies in it. It is just a terrible, terrible show. I could not stand it. It is, if you're looking for boobs, it's for you. But if you want something else, it's not, because the characters are all uninteresting, too annoying to just die already. The first season in particular is very, very mean-spirited. It's like everyone is so mean and full of it's just a really, really mean-spirited show in the first season. And the second season tries to play up a bit more comedy, and then it just kind of like doesn't care anymore after a few episodes, and it's just kind of dark again, but not as mean. It does try to focus more on, hey, we have to work together to do this. And I'll give it some props for that. But it really is just a boobies show. And I don't care about any of that. It's also very ugly. The color palette is very bland. And not full of a lot of color. It's a lot of browns and grays and like blues and not much saturation to it all. It's just a very, very kind of not depressing anime, but it didn't fill me with any type of pleasure watching it. Though if you're somebody who gets off on drawn breasts, then you may be filled with pleasure of a different sort. But really, it is just all about boobies. And hey, let's just watch these characters shower over and over again, because why not? So if you want boobies, Freezing is for you. If you don't care about that stuff, or you want some substance in addition to that, I wouldn't recommend Freezing. Because also, the story is just so overly convoluted, and it takes itself incredibly seriously. It's full of a lot of questions that it doesn't want to answer for the most part, and it's too complicated for its own good, and doesn't explain a lot of it. It tries to in the end, but it doesn't do much of that. And it doesn't really feel like either season really ends on a good note, or in terms of just a strong conclusion. They just both feel like, whatever, here's the end. And then I watched Sankarea, which is another ecchi. There's not that much in terms of boobage, which was fine by me. The reason I watched it is because it sounded very, very different in a way. I'll read the synopsis from my anime list. Shihiro Furuya likes zombies. There's something about the shambling corpses and blood that appeals to him on a visual level. And since childhood, he longed to enter into a romantic situation with one. He gets his wish when he encounters Rea Sanka, the daughter of the school director, at the abandoned building he uses in an attempt to resurrect Babu, the family cat. With a resurrection potion, hoping to escape her awful home life, Rea consumes the potion and falls to her death, only to come back as a zombie? Why do you have a question mark? Only to come back as a zombie? Okay, whatever. Could this possibly be Chihiro's dream come true, or will it be a rude awakening? So, it's about this guy who has a romantic... He has sexual feelings for zombies, and he's like, that's like his fetish or whatever, is zombies. And he meets this girl who runs off to this abandoned place when he's trying to resurrect his cat who was killed. He keeps trying to do it, and then she helps him with it. And he uses this potion the last time they ever do this, and they don't think it works, and this is the last time they're going to bury him the next time they meet. He takes her home. You find out the next day that the cat actually did come back to life from that. And her father finds out that she was leaving and then doesn't want to let her out again. But then she gets out because he's going to go after Chihiro to castrate him. Because I'll get to that with this weird side story with the father and the daughter. But then she goes after him to try and stop him and help Chihiro. And, you know, falls off, dies, but comes back to life as a zombie. And I thought it was kind of cool to have this show where it's like a romance between a zombie and a human. And it's funny because the zombies in here, they crave blood if they don't eat this particular plant. But to stay pretty much human-like, other than not having a heartbeat and being very white and cold, they eat this particular plant that's poisonous that was used in the potion to bring them back to life, and it sort of keeps them of sound mind and, you know, not just like a shambling zombie. And that was kind of weird and interesting. And then the cat meows, and the reason why it's called Babu is because its meow is Babu, Babu. It's kind of cute and funny at times. But the problem I have with it is that the whole father-daughter thing was such a substantial part of it, and I didn't really care for it. And what the father-daughter thing is he likes to take pictures of his daughter naked. And he's been doing this every year of her life on her birthday and acting like it's normal. And it's in part because her mother died, and I guess that's his way of, like, holding on to her, but also it's just super creepy and weird, and he's so ridiculously obsessed, and he wants to castrate Chihiro, and he doesn't want to let her go to school. Like, he's so controlling of her, and it's really disgusting, and the mother's terrible too, the stepmother, and it's just a really kind of downer and weird, disturbing part of the show that is in so much of it that it's really, really annoying and disappointing. But it's okay. I didn't hate it. I just wish that whole father-daughter thing wasn't such a big part of it. And then the last series I watched was, where did it go? Where are you? I had you all booted up to go. Let me get to it. What the name of it was again. Here you are. Shingeki no Bahamut Genesis, or in English, Rage of Bahamut Genesis. And I really didn't care for it. I thought the voice acting was terrible. It's the story itself is kind of garbage too, because it just is like, okay, there's this half demon, half angel thing who's looking for her mother, and she gets this guy to help her and puts a curse on him that gives him a tail so that he'll help her, after he promised her, just kind of like willy-nilly because he didn't know who he was dealing with. And then there's just all these crazy antics, and he's a bounty hunter, and then his old friend, who's now like his rival, is also a bounty hunter with a stupid haircut, and he used to be a knight, and he's trying to regain his knighthood and the pride of his family that was taken away after something that, I don't know, I don't remember that happened. The other bounty hunter was like a father, was the son of a pirate lord guy who actually was quite distinguished, at least. It's all stupid, and the one guy has an afro, and the other guy, so there's two stupid haircuts. It looks pretty, I'll give it that, at least, but it's just a story about these people trying to get to this mother, and then you find out that the mother wasn't in this place, and then they go somewhere else, and they find out that the mother was actually under this control of whatever, and she's been controlled whatever to get this key, which is infused in her body to release this dragon thing, the Bahamut, so that it could destroy everything or whatever, and then, no, actually, this person's the one behind it all. No, actually, it's this one, and it's just like, whatever, and the story doesn't feel like it has a satisfying end, and it ends in a way that's just like, oh, there's going to be more. We're just, you know, everything that just happened meant nothing because we're back to our old ways. I don't even know if he ever lost his tail, because he's able to hide his tail incredibly well when he's wearing clothes. But I just didn't care. I found it really, really boring, and I thought the voice acting was, I checked out both the dub and the original Japanese voice acting. I did not like the voice acting either. I think Favreau was so obnoxious and annoying in both versions, and maybe that's what they wanted, but I didn't like that. I didn't like him as a character because of that. I also thought his actions as a character were a bit weird and contradictory. And then the other guy, I think, Kassir, he is okay in the Japanese voice acting, but in the American, he is, it's, there's something so weird about his voice acting, the voice work, because it almost sounds like the actor was going between accents or something. It just felt like it was not consistent at all. And any time he spoke in general, I just hated it because it sounded awful. It just did not sound like anyone who, it just didn't sound like how anyone would actually sound, and I could not stand it. But I just found it to be an incredibly boring series, and I was glad when it was over. But it's, a lot of people seem to like it. I just don't. And then other than that, I want to talk about a manga I've been reading, and it's Bokura wa Mina Kawaiisu, which is otherwise known as the Kawaii Complex Guide to Manners and Hostel. And this is the manga that inspired, well, that the TV series, the anime of the same name is based on, and it's still ongoing. I'm reading it on the Crunchyroll app, and I am just loving the manga so far. It made me realize just how little of it, I think, the first three volumes and maybe a few chapters after that is what the first season covers. And I am so disappointed because I am adoring this series, the manga, and I wish there was more to the anime, but there hasn't been, and there probably will never be because they only released it on DVD, no Blu-ray, at least in the States. I highly doubt they ever will. I don't think there was ever much in terms of licensed stuff for it, like figures or keychains or anything like that. So I don't think it was a big moneymaker or that popular enough to merit a second season, which sucks because I really enjoyed the first season. I really want to go back to it, especially after reading this. And now that I've gotten past, I'm way past the series. I think I'm through five volumes. I'm at chapter 50, I believe. And I'm just like, oh my god, I wish this was in an anime form so I could just watch it as well. But it's so lovely because it's adorable and innocent and cute and sweet while also being full of this silly, adult, dirty, immature humor as well. And it mixes them so well, and I love the art of it. I love it when it gets a bit more rudimentary. It's just such a delightful book, and I wish it was in a physical form. I wish I could buy it in English in physical form because I'd love to own actual physical copies of it, but those don't exist either, which sucks. But yeah, I highly recommend checking it out if you have the if you have a Crunchyroll premium account membership, then you can read it on their website or via the manga, the Crunchyroll manga app, and I highly recommend checking it out and also checking out the anime, which is no longer on Crunchyroll, but you can get on Hulu, so check it out there. So tired right now. So what I'm going to talk about today on this week's show is Party Hard, which I'm going to review for y'all. I'm going to touch on the Magic Circle, which I've been playing a bit of, Gold Edition on the Xbox One, and Pac-Man 256, which I just bought earlier today. I'm recording this bit on Tuesday. Anyway, I'm so tired, but who cares? I'm going to start with Pac-Man 256, just to get that out of the way. I played that game a bit on my phone, and I did like it, but I also felt like the controls were a bit, I don't want to say unresponsive, but just at times, I felt like what I wanted Pac-Man to do, he wasn't doing. And that's because it's just a swipey controls. You don't have any type of physical control. And I stopped playing it quite soon. I didn't give it that much time. I was kind of like, you know what? This is taking up enough of my gigabytes with its megabytes. And I don't need this. But then I saw it came out on consoles, and I was like, you know what? It's only $5, which isn't bad. I can support it, because I did like it. I just had a problem with the controls. And now I can play it with a controller, so why don't I check it out? And I did, and I played quite a bit of it, and I'm really enjoying it. It does feel so much better to actually have that physical D-pad to control the game. It just feels like no matter what happens, if I die or I'm succeeding, it's my doing. It's not me like accidentally swiping this way, or it's like, oh, it registered a swipe to the right as a swipe up or something, or it didn't completely register, etc. But yeah, I'm really liking it. It's nice having everything unlocked in terms of themes and all that. But at the same time, it means the only use for the credits you earn in the game are for upgrading power-ups, which is kind of... I wish there was some other stuff in it, like maybe Xbox themed skins and stuff like that for the Xbox version and PlayStation themed skins for the PlayStation version. And I don't know if there's a Vita version, but man, oh man, would it be perfect for Vita. And also on the 3DS. It would be great on both the portable platforms to have a portable version of it that also comes with a physical control scheme. But yeah, $5. Really fun. It sucks that the multiplayer is only local and the leaderboard is only friends, unless there's some other like way I have not figured out how to change it. But as far as I could tell, the leaderboard is only for friends, and that's kind of weird. Like, I would like to see where I rank against everyone who's playing it on my platform of choice, but that doesn't seem to be the case. So next up, I'll talk about the Magic Circle. And I've only played probably a half hour of it, and I think that's about one-sixth of it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's about a three-hour game. And I don't know if it will be a good game in terms of the gameplay, but the banter between these two bits of, I don't know if, I guess they would be technically bits of code, not actual coders. So the way the game works is, you are the hero, quote-unquote hero, inside a game that has not been finished. So there are areas that are just not finished. It's not fully colored. I think things like that will change as you progress in it. And there are these two different seemingly like god-like bits of code. One is more kind of passive, one that's more aggressive, one that's more, you know, I no violence, and then the other one's like, yes, violence. And their banter is great. And it has a bit of a kind of portally feel to it in the way that these orbs are floating around you and either talking to you or at each other, the way they manipulate the environment. It's very funny, kind of charming, and I'm just really enjoying the story bits so far. Gameplay-wise, there hasn't been much to it. I know it's a puzzle game, and supposedly, like a lot of puzzle games, you can apparently solve puzzles in many different ways. You know, you figure it out however you want to. I'll see if that's the case and report back. Maybe I'll write up a review for that, since it'll be a week until I'm able to talk about it again. I thought about doing one for Party Hard, but then it was just like, with Party Hard, it's I have some things to say about it, which I'll get to. But the Magic Circle, I'm enjoying it so far, and I did get a code for that as well as Party Hard. So Party Hard is interesting. I think it came out last year on PC and also on. Well, I don't know when it came out on PS4, but I believe it's on PS4 as well now, or has been for a while. I'm playing on Xbox One, and there are a lot of comparisons to Hotline Miami, and I can see that in terms of how violent it is and just the art style and aesthetic, this over-the-top, slightly isometric, very pixely, colorful look to it all, but it's not like Hotline Miami in that Hotline Miami is very fast, and it's about just killing everyone super fast and sort of finding the best route in any level. Party Hard is more about, it's more like a Hitman game in the Hotline Man Miami aesthetic. Except, instead of having just one or a few targets, your goal is to kill everyone. And it's funny because they have a tutorial where I think you have to kill four people. Very simple, you know, you can't fail. And then the next level they throw you in after they just give you this very, very brief tutorial, there's like 47 or 67 people to kill. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do here? And it has potential, and it's fun at times. It's also very frustrating. The problem I have with it is that you have a basic attack with your main dude. You can unlock other characters based on things you do in a level or for completing the game. Like a cop or like, so your main dude doesn't have any special powers as far as I can tell. You can unlock a cop by completing the game, which allows you to carry dead bodies without anyone thinking, no, oh, that's kind of weird. There's a Jason type character who basically doesn't basically, his special power is that he carries around a chainsaw, which can, deliver massive damage compared to just the knife. Also, the cop can't use traps. There's a woman who I think, as far as I can tell, can only be played on one level, and her power is just that she has no power. She can't stab until she kicks someone and puts them to sleep, and then she can stab them. So she's worthless. And it's funny because, and I'll get to this later, but there's also a ninja who you can use to hide in areas that you can't else otherwise do. But the problem with the game is that you have these traps that you can use, and you can hide bodies and stuff like that, but there are only so many traps in every level, and they'll only kill, I'd say, a max of like 20 people in a level. After you use all the traps, so after a certain point, you're left to just going around and stabbing everyone, like waiting until they're outside of the line of sight of somebody else and just stab them, and then you can run away. You can try to hide the body or just run away so that they don't look at you and think you're the killer and tell the cops when they get there. But that just gets really kind of boring. It's just like, oh, this was interesting until it turned into just me having to stab everyone and do nothing creative. And on all the levels, you can make a call, which could bring about, on one level, it brings about zombies, which will just completely turn everyone and do all the work for you. And then when everyone's a zombie, you can just, like, let them come at you in a line and just stab, 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 stab. But that kind of breaks that level. On other levels, you can invite the Jason dude who will come after you. He's always trying to kill you, which kind of makes it like, well, what's the point of this? Or you can call a army dude who will back you up one time, aliens, etc. But it just gets really tedious and makes levels last longer than they should, because you have to wait until people are outside of view and then just stab them and then just do that over again. And some things don't really make sense. Like, you can, if there's a barrel on fire, you can push someone in there. If you do that in front of a bunch of other people, they just freak out that somebody fell into the fire barrel. They don't care that you push them in there. You can push people into wood chipper things or throw them off of the building. Nobody cares. You can carry around sleeping people too, because at a party, if you're carrying around sleeping people, who really cares? You might rape the person, but you're not going to kill them, so who cares, right? That's weird that you can just carry around sleeping people without any problem, and then you can throw them off the building. Like, whoa, nobody cares. If they wake up while you're carrying them, they'll just like punch you and just knock you out a little bit. Another thing is that's annoying is there are bouncers in these levels, and they just don't like you. No matter who you are, you don't have to do anything. They just don't like you. And I would think that maybe, oh, the woman's ability is that bouncers don't care about her. They'll let her slide because, oh, she's a hot, you know, hot, stylish woman. But that's not the case. The bouncers just hate everyone. And it gets really annoying because they'll chase after you. Not as long as cops. And after a while, cops will just be like, forget you. Until the next time they get called and someone says you're the killer, and then they'll try a little harder until they eventually get you. You can't kill cops unless you get them caught in a trap. You can't stab them. You can't like wait and wait for them and just try to stab them before they arrest you. So don't try that. But I have like a like hate relationship with it. I don't have a love-hate relationship with it because there's nothing I particularly love about it, but I did play a good chunk of it. I kept going back despite frustration because there is something about going back and trying to get a better score or completing levels, like in a Hitman game, but it just doesn't have as much variety as I would like, and I think it's probably a much better idea to get on a PC because unless they add this later on, the PC version just seems to be the way to go because there is a level creator, so people can create their own levels, and I think that would make the game a lot better. But as far as I would give it a score of any kind, I would say it's a solid 3 out of 5. It's good. It's a solid game. It's not great. It's not terrible, but yeah, Party Hard, available now on Xbox One. And PS4, I believe, too, and PC. Inside Ninja! Shing! And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Kuznez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Xbox Live, Monomelis, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. That is at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am the Kush 3. That is the KUSH number 3. And the site is, of course, PixelatedSausage.com, where you can go to find this podcast and other podcasts like Pixelated Radio and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, as well as all the art I post and links to a whole bunch of other stuff. Regarding the podcast, though, if you haven't already, it would be greatly appreciated if you rated, reviewed, and subscribed to this show and the other shows on iTunes, because it really does help and helps get the word out there and gets more people listening. It just keeps us up in the whatever. It keeps us up there so people can see us and find us naturally. There was something I want to talk about, and then I just got completely kerfluffled. Oh yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone who did support the One Orlando Fund, the cause I was supporting in sharing and or purchasing prints from the store. Of course, there's still today and tomorrow to purchase a print, and then all the proceeds that I receive for the month of June will be going directly to the One Orlando Fund. And yeah, I just want to thank everyone who helped out in any way, shape, or form. I think after this month is over, I'm going to change the Lines of Pride piece to just a more broad LGBTQ fund, and just keep at any purchase of that go towards supporting some type of LGBTQ community and whatnot cause. So other than that, I hope everyone has had a great week so far, has a great week for the rest of it, enjoys the holiday weekend. And if it's hot in your area, stay cool, stay hydrated, and have a great rest of your week. Bye-bye! Do you like pixelated sausage? Do you like sausage? Do you like pixelation? Do you like it when sausage is pixelated? Do you like this podcast? Do you like Pixelated Radio? Do you like other things that have pixelated and sausage in the name somewhere? Do you like me? Do you like the other people who work at Pixelated Sausage? Do you like the fact that I said work, even though no one gets paid? Well, if you do like any of that stuff, you can support the site, the podcast, whatever you want, by chipping in a few bucks every month over at patreon.com/pxs. That is, once again, patreon.com/pxs. A few months, yes, a few months a buck really goes a long way, but a few bucks a month goes an even longer way.